And he has given himself to Baha'u'llah, really. And as a result of it, he says, I believe. That is when the first spark of faith appears in our hearts. Just like a mother who has given birth to a child. This is just a form of looking at nature to see what happens there. Now, when you look at nature, you will find that the mother who gives birth to a child, the first thing she does, if you notice, she loves that child very much. And the next thing she does, she will feed the child. And the child has never been fed before in his life. Never tasted the milk. And none of us can remember what it was like when we first received the milk from our mother. But it must have been some, it must have some effect on us, on the child. It gets a taste for it. And the next time, it probably wants, it's not going to reject it. It becomes more and more fond of that milk, to such an extent that it'll cry for it afterwards. And he wants to drink this milk. And this milk make it grow. This is nature. And the mother will feed the child regularly. Regularly. Now the same thing applies exactly to our faith. When you say, I become a Baha'i, it's a dangerous thing to remain like this and just remain in that state. We must feed our faith. We must feed the spirit of faith which is born. We must feed it with some food. And the food for it is the words of God for this age. This is why Baha'u'llah has commanded us. This is one of his commandments. He says, recite my words. Recite my words twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. He stipulates that. Recite my words in the morning and in the evening. It's just like a mother who says to her child, eat your food 2 or 3 times a day. You see how similar it is? And Baha'u'llah mentions to us, if we don't recite, what will happen to us? You can imagine what will happen to us. What will happen if a child does not eat his food? Baha'u'llah says, if you do not read my words, it's a very serious situation. He says, you are not steadfast in the covenant. Our soul, if it is to be healthy, it must be steadfast in the covenant. If it is not, it's a serious situation. And this is when the believer becomes confused. He's a Baha'i, yes. But he has never taken a food, or very little. And so he becomes frustrated. He cannot see joy out of his faith and out of life. Just like a person who does not eat his food. I remember a few years ago, one young person came to me and he said, you know, he said, it's 1 year that I'm a Baha'i, but I don't feel any difference. I'm the same person as before. Can you imagine, when you become a Baha'i, can you imagine what happens? We have to be different. One has to be very different. Very different. It's a new life. This is the second birth that Christ is talking about. The spirit of faith is born. It must be the most exciting thing which happens, just like an excitement which comes to a mother. There is no excitement in the world for a mother greater than to have given birth to a child. And this person said, well, I don't feel any excitement. I'm a Baha'i for a year, but I've not grown, I've not changed, I'm just like the old days. I'm not excited about anything. What is wrong with me, he said. Well, you can imagine what's wrong. You know, I mentioned to him, I said, have you ever loved somebody? Because you must remember, the faith, you cannot only become a Baha'i through your intellectual appraisal and intellectual investigations. You might begin with that way, but you have to fall in love, really. Your heart must accept the faith. You must fall in love. It's a falling in love. To be a Baha'i is that you have fallen in love. And of course, this is a relative term. It varies from person to person. One person's love for Baha'u'llah is not much of a love for another, in another case, of another person. Everyone is in different levels. We are all in different levels. This is a relative term. But to be a Baha'i means that you have come to love Baha'u'llah. This is what it amounts to. You can understand, yes, you must study it and everything else. I don't know how you become a Baha'i, it's not important. You might become a Baha'i through a purely an intellectual approach. But then, if your heart does not move, and if your heart does not fall in love, because I mentioned, we have to give ourselves to, we have to give our soul to the influences of the revelation of Baha'u'llah. It is just like a marriage. When you are marrying somebody, you love that person. You see? Now here it is. This young man was telling me, he said that after a year, I don't feel any difference. I said, have you ever loved anybody in your life? He said, yes. Now let us see what happened that you love this person. Really, let us examine it. This is nature again. What happens that you come to love somebody? The first thing, you meet that person. Isn't that right? And when you meet that person, you like that person. And when you like that person, you come a little closer to that person. Isn't that right? You come a little closer. And when you come a little closer, you like him more or like her more. And when you like her more, you come still further closer. And you come closer and closer and closer. And it comes a point that you want to know everything about that person. Isn't that right? You want to know everything. And you're going to ask even people, what is this? Tell me all about it. And I'm sure if somebody rings you up in the middle of night, 2 a.m, and say, look, I've got some news for you about your friend. Would you like me to tell you? Oh, yes, please tell me. You're not tired of it. You become excited. You see, you are beginning to fall in love with somebody. Oh. And so, this is how you fall in love with some person. So I mentioned to this young man, I said, when you heard of Baha'u'llah and recognized him and said you are a Baha'i, did you ever come a little closer to him? To Baha'u'llah? Did you ever allow yourself to come a little closer to him? No. Did you ever read anything about the history of his revelation, really, to find out what was going on in all this? Did you try to find out anything about him? No. Did you read any of his writings? No. Did you care to carry out his teachings? Exactly. See, what he has said, let me carry them out. No, he said. Well, what do you expect? You have kept your distance. And now you want to be different. Of course you're not. You're the same person. You're just like a mother who has given birth to a child somehow, but it's gone now. It's not there anymore. It's very little of it left. And this is why I said it's very easy to become a Baha'i. But to grow in the faith is the greatest challenge and the greatest difficulty. But we can learn. We can learn from nature and we can learn from the writings of Baha'u'llah. And as I said in the morning, everything that he has said, it fits into nature. Now this very teaching that he tells us, this very commandment that he tells us we must read his words twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, is just as vital as eating the food for a child. And you see how much similar it is to nature when he says do it twice a day. You know, in life, it's the same thing. If you eat, you cannot lump together all your food and eat it once a day. You can't do that. It's not healthy. You eat something in the morning, then that something that you eat in the morning, you have to give it time to be digested. And when it is digested, then you become hungry again. And it is a sign of digestion is that you're hungry again. Then you will eat again. Baha'u'llah has given us the same commandment. He says, read my words in the morning, Which means, when you read it, you mustn't just read it and forget it, but rather allow it to penetrate into our hearts. Penetrate into our hearts. And when it penetrates in the heart, then the sign of it penetrating in our hearts, what we read, is that when we come home in the evening, you are eager to read again of the writings. This is the sign. If I come home and I'm not eager to read, it means what I have read in the morning, or if I have read it, what I have read in the morning have not penetrated into my heart. And there is again a challenge. What are we going to do? How are we going to enable the words of Baha'u'llah to penetrate into our soul? And now what I'm trying to tell you in a way is this, that in life you have to do so many things to live in order to enable you to live. Isn't that right? In life you can't just say, all right, I'm going to eat only and then I'm going to live. No, you can't do that. You have to do so many things to enable you to live in this life. You have to eat, you have to sleep, you can't do without it. You have to breathe air into your lungs, you have to wash, you have to dress, you have to go shopping, you have to work, you have to have friends if you want to live. You have to do all these things. And if one of them is not done, if I say I'm not going to shopping ever, well, you can't live really, you must go for shopping. You have to do all these things. It's like in electricity, it's like, you know, these switches which are in series. If you put a number of switches one after the other, you must close all the switches so that the current may flow. If one of them is open, nothing will happen. It's the same thing in the faith. You become a Baha'i, now the task begins. You have to close switch after switch in order that you may live happily and grow, our faith may grow. One of them, the first one, was this reading of the writings in the morning and in the evening. It is such an important commandment that nobody can ever emphasize this point enough, how important it is to make it a habit for ourselves to read the writings. And you know, to form a habit is difficult when you are grown up or when you become a Baha'i. You've never been reading the writings before, so to form a habit is difficult. It's all right for children to learn it. A child will learn it and make a habit of it. But to read the writings when you are grown up, you have to force yourself at first, until it becomes a second habit. And it doesn't matter, we must not be worried about it. Once there is a lapse in this, you may do it for a week and then you forget it. Doesn't matter. Try it again. You forgot it for another week, okay, doesn't matter. God is forgiving, of course it is. You just take one little step forward, He comes to you 1,000 meters. Doesn't matter. Do it again, so that it becomes a habit. So that the goal of a Baha'i really is to become an addict to the writings of Baha'u'llah. This is the goal. And you know how you become an addict. Now you must know, or must have heard of, I don't think you're addicts yourselves to anything, but people who become addicts to drugs, what happens to them is somebody introduces the idea to them and eventually give them a little piece to try. The child becomes an addict to the milk of the mother. And we have to become an addict to the writings of Baha'u'llah. And I will probably, in the course of next sessions, we'll talk about it, of how should we read the words so that we may become really addicts to it. Now, I think when they are children can learn this when they are young. And we should teach our children from childhood to make it a habit of reading the writings in the morning and in the evening. Then they grow and it becomes natural for them. Now, there is one point that I must mention here. It's a very important point. What is the writings? We must not mix it with prayers here. We are not talking of prayers. Prayers are different things. We do it differently, and I'm not going to talk about it now. Prayer plays a very important part in our life. But reading the writings of Baha'u'llah is a very different thing altogether. The writings are those things that you come across in English now. Many of these writings are available to us. The Gleanings, Book of Gleanings, is full of the writings of Baha'u'llah. The Tablets of Baha'u'llah, lately published by the House of Justice, these are the writings of Baha'u'llah. There are other books which are not prayers, of the writings. The Hidden Words is one of the writings of Baha'u'llah. And there is a vast difference between writing, reading the writings and saying prayers. In fact, these two things are sometimes opposite things. Very opposite. A prayer and a tablet of Baha'u'llah are opposite things. I will explain to you how. When you say a prayer, you often ask God for something. But when you read the writings, it's God who asks you to do something. It's very different. You see how different it is? And we have to be differentiating this very clearly in our minds. And especially if you are teaching our children. I note that the children of all the Baha'i families, they are taught prayers. You know, most children learn prayers. But we should have a program, every home, where we can see that we show the children the difference between reading the writings and saying your prayers. You could say, all right, say a prayer, but let us now read the writings. And pick up something for them, which they can read. So that it becomes a habit for them, and they can distinguish between the two things. In our meetings, well, this is my own taste now, if you like call it. This is just the taste, personal taste. I feel we should say prayers, but equally we should read the writings when we gather together in a meeting. When we have a devotional program, you can say prayers, you can read the writings. Now, Baha'u'llah has again here applied the same laws of nature to this particular commandment by telling us that we must not read the writings when we are tired. He says, read as much as you are enjoying it. As soon as you become tired, don't read it. Do you know what it is like? It's like a mother who says to her child, eat your food as long as you're hungry. As soon as you're full, stop eating. This is it. You see, very natural. All these teachings, as I said, have their origin in nature. Now, we must also, I'm going to, the time is coming 12 o'clock, I think I'm going to tell you a story. There's much we have to cover in this field, we haven't even touched upon this properly, of all the things we have to do. As I said, there are a lot of switches we have to close in order that we can enable our souls to experience that growth and that joy of faith. A growing faith, not a static faith. A static faith for a Baha'i is fatal. You know, something which is always the same. But he says we must allow our faith to grow day by day. And we must feel it, just like a mother who feels that his child is growing. And he's happy for it. Now I'm going to tell you a story, which is a true story. Now, I don't think it's made up. It relates to one of the early believers of Baha'u'llah. Now this is a very well-known, one of the well-known apostles of Baha'u'llah. Isn't one of the apostles of Baha'u'llah was called Zainul Mugharrabin. It doesn't matter now the name to you. He was one of the outstanding disciples of Baha'u'llah. One who really had a great, great qualities of knowledge and learning. And his particular work was, at one stage in his life, was to transcribe the writings. You know, transcribing the writings was a very important task. Because when revelation came to Baha'u'llah and this amanuensis would write it very fast, so fast that you cannot read it. Revelation writings, you can look at revelation writings, it's not possible to read it. The way revelation came to him was so fast and there is no shorthand in Persian or Arabic languages, that his amanuensis had to use a special technique of writing them. And I'm not going to go into details of it, but I can just give you, illustrate for you, how he used to write so